Thankful to be able to stand before you for just a couple or 3 minutes, a little bit longer, this evening to be able to open up the pages of the Bible and think about spiritual things. I enjoyed the Bible class. Chris did a very good job in that class, and I've not got to hear many of his classes this quarter, but I enjoyed the ones that I had and appreciate the good work that he does in the Bible class. My brother was on the schedule for the invitation, but he gets shots in his eyes, and when he does, he can't see very well. So he asked me if I'd fill in for him, and I'm happy to do that. There are a number of ways that man is like God. In fact, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says that God made man in his likeness. And in James, the third chapter, the Bible says that man was made after the similitude, that is, after the likeness of God. And so there's a number of ways that man is like God. But there are also a number of ways in which man is not like God. And one of those ways is that man doesn't know everything. I stand before you tonight fully admitting that I don't know it all. That I don't know everything. Anyone here want to raise your hand and admit that you know everything? Not a hand. Because we understand that while God knows everything, I don't know everything. Man does not. We are completely, totally dependent upon God for the knowledge of what we need to do in order to be right before Him. Jeremiah 10 and in verse 23 talks about that. God knows all things. In fact, the Bible talks about in Acts chapter 1, verse 24, O Lord, Thou who knowest the hearts of all men. God knows our hearts. No doubt about that. The psalmist declared in Psalm 139, verse 4, There is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but Thou knowest it all together. God knows our hearts. He knows our words. He knows our thoughts. And the list just goes on and on about what God knows as opposed to what man doesn't know. In Hebrews 4 and in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God knows it all, and man does not. If there was just one thing that I did not know, that would be enough to prove that I don't know it all. You agree? But I want to share with you tonight four things that man does not know. Cannot. Some things he can know, but some he chooses to not know. And I'd like for us to think about some things that man just simply does not know. First of all, Proverbs 27 verse 1, Boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The reality is I don't even know if there's going to be a tomorrow, much less what's going to be on tomorrow. But God does. I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And that gets us through some very difficult times, but I don't know what tomorrow holds. And so as a result of not knowing what is on the morrow and whether or not even tomorrow will come, I need to be thinking about the importance of doing what I need to do now while I have time and opportunity, because we do not know what tomorrow may bring. James chapter 4 and in verse 14, What is thy life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so man does not know what is on the morrow. Number two, sometimes man does not know the Scriptures. There's no excuse for that. Jesus said, as recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 24, and also in Matthew 22, 29, you do err not knowing, you know the rest of that, not knowing the Scriptures. A failure to know the Scriptures will cause us to err. A lot of times individuals talk about things of which they ought to study the Bible first, and as a result of that, they err and they teach things that they ought not. You see, we can cut out the likelihood of that if we just simply teach and stick with what the Bible says. We'll cut that out each and every time. We've got to know the Bible. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 6, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Lord talked about in the book of John chapter 8 and in verse 32. So we need to know the scriptures. And the only way that I'm going to know it is to sit at the feet of someone who's capable and able, like Chris did this evening, teaching us the scriptures and listen with attentive ears and minds, open hearts and minds. Listen to what the Bible says, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Or study the scriptures, 2 Timothy 2 and then verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly divided, or handling aright the word of God. You know, the Bible puts a lot of emphasis not only on study, but on reading. And there is a difference. We don't need to do one to the neglecting of the other. We need to have a good, and I think that was just mentioned not maybe on Sunday, about the importance of having a good reading plan. And we need to set aside some time to be familiar with the Word of God and read it. I often remind myself about the importance of that because as I'm putting together sermons and things to teach, if I don't study perhaps what's over on this side of the Bible and I spend all my time over on what's over here and I'm developing a sermon on a particular topic, I may miss out on a lot of good points that I could have put in that sermon, in that Bible class material, if I would have just went back and spent some time reading over here. Or maybe if I read over here to the neglecting of what's over here, I might miss a lot of points that I could have put in that sermon if I would have just spent time reading in other places in the Bible. So I try to remind myself about that. Spend some time reading. And a lot of that will stick. You make yourself a note. You might run across a verse and say, I didn't think about that. But the next time that I preach about the soul of man, there's me a good verse. And make a note of that in my Bible. You to err not knowing the scriptures. If I don't know it, I cannot obey it, much less preach it to others. So I've got to know the scriptures. Number three. When the Lord comes back, He will take vengeance on at least two groups of people that the Bible specifically calls out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 begin. Verse 6 begin. Seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. In the first century, God's people were troubled. They were being persecuted. And Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Thessalonica, and he's telling them it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Brother Paul, when can we rest? Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with in flaming fire with his angels, flaming fire, taking vengeance on them, now watch him, that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we don't know God, we'll perish when life is over. You agree? And not only do we have to know Him, we must know Him, but we also have to obey Him. That's what that passage is pointing out, that there's eternal destruction to those, everlasting punishment to those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to have a mental assent, that is, my mind knows about God, I know about Christ, I know what the Bible teaches, and then never obey it. But a failure to know God and a failure to obey the gospel will surely lead to everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Whom you therefore ignorantly worship, Him declare unto you. Paul stated while he's at Athens on Mars Hill, Acts 17:23. And when the Lord prayed to the Father before He was arrested and crucified, He said, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee. John 17 and in verse 30. Do you know God tonight? Do you know His Word? Last point. Four things that man does not know. Now one we can fix, and that's not knowing the scriptures, we can fix that. The others, what's on tomorrow we don't know. We can fix that we do not know God, but here's one that no one knows. By the way, what would you put? If you had 4 points, you had one more to share, and you want to share something with someone that man does not know, what point would you put?
When He's coming back.
the mind of God. Except he reveals it, that's exactly right. That's not the point. But that could be on the list, add to that number five. You would talk about the secret things. The secret things belonging to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us, Deuteronomy 29:29. There's some things that man will never know because they're the secret things that belong unto God, and he's revealed the things that he saw fit for us to know. So don't worry about things you don't know. Don't get tripped up about things you don't have the answer to. Worry about what God has revealed. But I think someone said my fourth point. I don't know when the Lord's coming again. I know he's coming. I know he is, and that I'm to be watchful. Because the Lord said in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 42, watch, for you know not the hour when the Son of Man doth come. I know he's coming, Acts 1, Revelation 1, Matthew 25, and a host of other passages talk about the fact that he's coming again. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I know he's coming again, but I don't know when. So I best be ready at any time. Day, night, we need to be ready because we don't know when he's coming. So I ask you tonight, are you ready? If the Lord were to come tonight, and he may very well come tonight, I don't know. But if he did, if he does, would you be ready? Have you obeyed the gospel? Preacher, what must I do to be saved? There's absolutely no difference in what I must do to be saved today in 2024 and in the first century. And so if I want to know what to do to be saved, I've got to go to the Bible to find the answer to that. And here's what they did. They first heard the gospel. Every example of conversion in the book of Acts first began by men and women hearing the word. Many of the Corinthians here believed and were baptized. They heard the gospel. When they heard these words, they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2 and then verse 37. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've already mentioned to you Romans 10, verse 17. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you don't believe that he is the Son of God, you'll perish in your sins. John 8, verse 24. But we must turn away from the ways of the world as we turn unto God. Change our mind about the way we've been living that's evident in the way that we live. Called repentance. Acts 17, verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God as he commanded Matthew 10, 32. Like the eunuch did when he said, it's a beautiful Bible illustration of that. What's that? What does that look like, preacher? What's that sound like when someone confesses their faith in Christ? Well, it's what the eunuch did when he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Did you make that confession? Will you make it tonight? And then be immersed into Christ, baptized for the remission of sins where the blood of Christ, not the water, but the blood will wash away every sin you've ever committed, Revelation 1:5. You can rise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. A member of the one body, Acts 2 and in verse 47. Maybe you're here tonight, you have done that, most of you have. But should you be here tonight and you've not done that, you need to tonight. Remember, you don't know what tomorrow holds and you don't know if tomorrow will come. But should you be here tonight and you have, but you've fallen away from a right relationship with God, you've not been living right, you turned your back on the Lord, and you want to straighten that up and come back home, we want you to come home too. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession to God in prayer. We have heaven's assurance, he'll forgive. Acts 8 and 1 John 1:9, there's danger and delay, so don't put it off. Come out.